I would like to talk to you about something that the beginning of Mishpatim and the beginning of Teruma might share and have in common. Not just them for the sake of politely covering all the bases, but as a beginning of the discussion of Teruma. And the place we're going to start is actually neither in Mishpatim nor in Teruma, but at the end of Parshas Yisro. At the end of Parshas Yisro, the Jewish people have just received the Torah. They're fresh. Excuse me, don't mind if I sit down. They're fresh from Matan Torah, and they've appointed Moshe Rabbeinu as the, so to speak, the go-between, who's going to speak to Hashem, hear from Hashem. And Hashem says to Moshe, go tell the Jewish people, Atem reisem ki min ha-shamayim dibarti imachem. You saw me speak to you from the heavens. That's what happened at Matan Torah. Right? Voice of Hashem, it seems, to some degree came from the heavens. To some degree, the heavens came down. But you saw ki min ha-shamayim dibarti imachem. You didn't see an item, a thing. You know, you just saw the voice of Hashem just came. Lo yisasun iti elohei chesef elohei zov lo sasu lachem. Don't make with me, for me, to represent me, gods of silver, gods of gold, don't make for yourself. Mizbech adam atasali, make a mizbeach of earth for me. Vizavachta lo v'seilesecha v'eshlamecha v'seinch v'esbikarecha. Offer on it, sacrifice upon it your offerings of all kinds. V'chol amokhem asher askir yashmi avay lecha v'erachtifa. Wherever my name is recalled, I will come to you and bless you. And if you make for me a mizbeach of stones, don't cut them. And so on. So we have Hashem saying, Har Sinai was very much experiencing God metaphysically. God is by definition metaphysical. He's above physicality. But there was nothing really to even latch onto. We didn't build anything at Har Sinai for Hashem to reside in or to reside upon. He came and he brought his presence down on that mountain. And there was no thought, no glimmer of a thought that it really had anything to do with that mountain. Right? That mountain, as soon as Hashem, when Hashem came down, he said, I'm going to sound the shofar when I'm ready to leave, and then bring on the cows. Right? They can go munch there, they can graze there, they can enjoy it. Hashem spoke to us from the heavens. He spoke to us from the heavens while we stood at Har Sinai. And Hashem says, any place. Could be any place. B'chol amokem asher askeshmi. You're going to build a mizbeach. You're going to build an altar. Wow, why are you being an altar? Building an altar if Hashem's every place? That's a silly question. You're building an altar because you want to serve Hashem. And the way you serve Hashem is by offering Him korbanos, right? By offering Him sacrifices. Before, we have these nice, sidurim and shuls with carpeting, right? We had the Beis HaMikdash without sidurim. And as the Gemara describes, you know, on Erev Pesach, when everybody was shechting korbanos, people would walk up to their ankles in blood from all the korbanos in them. Doesn't sound very appetizing to us, right? Doesn't sound very appetizing to us, but we'll leave that for a different discussion. The reality, though, is that the Mizbeach was the vehicle of serving Hashem. So, of course, you build yourself a Mizbeach, but any place. Any place you build it yourself in the Mizbeach, and from there you serve Hashem. There's no place for me. There's no thing that you're going to look at that's going to be me. That's what Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu after Har Sinai. And it's not just here, by the way. Elsewhere in the Torah, in Sefer Dvorim, the warnings about Avodah Zarah, about creating graven images, look back to Har Sinai and say, you didn't see any image. You didn't see anything. There's nothing to draw, there's nothing to engrave, there's nothing to make a picture of. Right? So don't do that. You know, just serve God. Serve God. That's what it says at the end of Parshas Yisro. Build a mizbeach. That's what I want. Parshas Mishpatim begins and says, these are the Mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem, these are the laws that you should place before them. Rashi says right away in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, from here you see what's the juxtaposition of the two. It shows you that you should place the Sanhedrin next to the Mizbeach. The Sanhedrin, the high court of the Jewish people, should be located near where the Mizbeach of service to Hashem is.
And that's the way it was. That's the way it would be. The chamber of the Sanhedrin, known as the Lishkas HaGazis, was part of the Beit HaMikdash compound. That's it. So the Mizbeach is there, and the Sanhedrin is there. The Sanhedrin would be next to the Mizbeach. This is an interesting note. I don't think we're going to dwell on it tonight. But what was the room again of the Sanhedrin called? It was called the Lishkas HaGazis. What does it say about the Mizbeach? Lo Sivna Esen Gozes. Don't build a Mizbeach from Gozes. Gozes means cut stones. Right? And the Lishka was made from cut stones. And when we speak about the Sanhedrin, by the way, what do they do? What does the Sanhedrin, what does the court do? What's the word we use for it in Hebrew / Yiddish? They paskin. Right? You know what it means to paskin? It means to cut. Right? It means to cut. The Sanhedrin cuts. Right? That's what it was. Sivna Esen Gozes. It was the room of cutting. Sak, a gezeirah, all the terms for the things, the rulings are always about cutting, right? You know, that's the term which is used to decide what's in, what's out. It's called a psak, a break, a cut. Okay, but be that as it may, so here we have the creation of a non-migdash. A non-migdash in the sense that it's not a place which is sanctified particularly, it's where you're choosing to serve Hashem. Wherever you mention, choose to serve Hashem, I will come to you and bless. Now, some time ago, we discussed, I don't remember if we talked about it this year or not, but we talked about this with Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael, he comes to Eretz Yisrael and Hashem appears to him in Shechem. And Avram Avinu goes and he builds a Mizbeach. He says, wow, Hashem appeared to me. He builds a Mizbeach, Hashem will appear to him. And then he went on to Beis El, and he built there in his back, and he called out in the name of Hashem. And so we point out that that's two possibilities. One possibility is Hashem is there, you build him in his back. The alternate is you build him in his back, and you bring Hashem there. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. That's what Avraham Avinu did, and it's a remarkable thing, because you would say, my, Hashem came to him here, I ain't leaving here. Hashem comes to me here, wow, you know, build a mizbeach, sit down, and this is the place of Hashem. Avraham Avinu knew, in a certain sense, what is described here in the pasuk at the end of Parshas Yisrael. Wherever you go and you mention my name, wherever you, vayikra b'shem Hashem, b'chol amokim Hashem, azkir Hashemi, wherever my name is recalled, you're going to go another place, you're going to call out in the name of Hashem, I'm there. I'm there. So the mizbeach is the vehicle to serve Hashem. Sometimes it's in response to Hashem's presence, and sometimes through doing it you help generate Hashem's presence. But it's not that Hashem resides in the Mizbeach. Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Hashem comes to those places where He is served. Hashem comes to those places where He is noted, where His name is mentioned. I didn't have any yet, did I? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh Lidvareh. Definitely didn't have any. It's delicious, thank you. Okay. And we go from there to Mishpatim to say that that's where the Sanhedrin should be too. Then we come to this week's Parsha. Parsha's Truman, where Hashem says, forget about every place. You'll make for me a Migdash and I will dwell in theirs. They shall make for me a Migdash, rather, and I will dwell in their midst. That's what Hashem says. And what does He do? Where is He going to dwell, by the way? He's going to dwell on the ark. What does it have on the ark? It has images. It has little getchgalach, little idols. Right, the cherubic images. You know, when the nations of the world saw or heard what we had in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they scorned us. You guys are the gods of you guys are the Jews of no idolatry. You have idols in your Holy of Holies. And that was where Hashem came to us from, between the two Kruvim. Hashem's presence came to us mibein shnei Kruvim. And that's, in fact, if you look at Rashi, at the end of Parshas Yisro, where Hashem says to Moshe, don't make with me gods of silver and of
gold,
says Rashi,
I told you to make me krugen. But I told you to make them out of gold. Don't make them out of silver. If you make them out of silver, it's like making an avodah zarah.
It's like making an idol.
I told you to make me two. If you make three, you make four,
it's avodah zarah. Don't make for me gods of gold.
What I told you to do,
not more.
Okay, beautiful.
Very nice. So we have this idea, an idea which we learn in many different ways, in many different places, some of which maybe we'll allude to later, maybe some other time, that, look, when God says this is how you make it, so then it's appropriate. But when you do it on your own, then it's how they desire. So God says, this is how I'm telling you how to make it. But tell me, does the pasuk sound to you like that? If we stopped at the end of Parshas Yisro, or at the end of Parshas Mishpatim for that matter, right? And you didn't know, right? You were on a desert island. You were born and raised on a desert island. And somebody doesn't, you don't know anything about anything. Somebody starts learning with you the Chumash, right? And you read up to the end of Parshas Yisro. Would you imagine that the Jewish people would have a temple? Would you imagine that in that temple there would be silver, there would be gold images? It's not what the pasuk sounds like. The pasuk sounds like there's no temple. There's an altar, but there's no temple. And images? Forget about it. Okay, so now that we know that there are images, we reread the pasuk. Right? And it's not like, you know, it's like some historical thing. Two parshiyos later, you know, at the end of parshiyos, from the beginning of Parshas Truma, Hashem tells us to build him a temple. Hashem says, as the first instruction of the building of the temple, make it our own. Right? Till Sheni, we get up to the box. After Sheni, we say, and you bake a lid to the box. And there are going to be these images of
Kerubim, golden images on top of the box.
What happened?
How is it consistent? How does it work together?
So you know that there's a theory of, not a theory, there's a shita of in Chazal, a shita which some say is Rashi's shita, Rashi's opinion as well, and certainly the one who articulates it very clearly amongst the Rishonim on the pages, the Sforna, that in fact, before the golden calf occurred, before the Maaseh HaEgel occurred, there was going to be no temple. There was going to be no Mikdash. It would be exactly as described at the end of Parshas Yisro. Wherever you mention my name, I will come and I will respond and I will be there. Parshas Truma is out of order. We're going to read about the Egel in 2 weeks, right? In Parshas Kisisa. But in fact, Parshas Truma was only instructed to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Egel, after the golden calf. Before the golden calf, we wouldn't have had such a thing. We would have served Hashem wherever he was in the heavens. We would have built him in his bath to serve him, and he would have come, so to speak, with his cloud, with his fire, to respond. However it was, it would be that he would respond. But then, after we created the Egel Hazov, so then it was a different story. And maybe it was a different story because when we created the Egel Hazov, we showed that we needed something to look at. Because that's why we created the golden calf. Maybe it was different because Hashem said, once upon a time, I would generously spread my presence everywhere. Now that you made yourselves a golden calf, I worship, I'm not going to come everywhere. I'm going to come to a specific place, nothing more. Maybe they showed they had a need for it and they were doing their own thing, so Hashem said, instead of doing your own thing, let me tell you how to do it. And if you do it this way, then I'll come. If you do it any other way, then it's terrible. Different ways to understand, you know, for all aspects of the same thing. But that the Mishkan is to some degree a result
of the Maaseh HaEgel.
It's a result of the story of the golden calf. It's not plan A, but to some degree it's plan B. But of course, the Torah doesn't present it that way. And so even if it is true, even if it is the case, that Hashem wouldn't have given us a Mishkan before, that there was a Maaseh HaEgel. But Hashem chose to present it in the Torah, the mitzvah of creating the Mishkan, before even telling us that there's a story of a golden calf. And our only remez, our only hint that anything is awry, is from the end of Parshas Yisro.
where we have this thing after Mount Har Sinai, and we have this sense of a God that could be any place and every place. Until he says, "You'll make a mikvah. You'll make a mikvah for Shachat Yisrael."
So let's try to understand the what we would call the lechatchila, the b'diyeved, the ideal, the less than ideal, the relationship between these two things. To some degree, the difference between the Mizbeach and the Orin. The Mizbeach and the Ark of the Covenant. You see, the Orin is the Sanhedrin. The Orin is the Sanhedrin.
The Ark is the Sanhedrin. Why? The Ark is where the Torah is. In the Kodesh Kodashim, that's where the Torah is. Now, yes, of course, it's not a version of the Sanhedrin entertains visitors. The Kodesh HaKadoshim doesn't entertain visitors so freely. But when Hashem wanted to communicate to the Jewish people his Torah, how did he do it? He did it through the Arayim. Kimitziyon Teitzei Seira. From Tzion, what's Tzion? Tzion is Yerushalayim, the Mikdash. Shall come forth the Torah, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, the word of God from Yerushalayim. The Torah emanates from there. The Ramban writes in the introduction to Parshas Terumah that what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in mind when he instructed us about the building of the Mishkan? So he says two things. One is that because Klal Yisrael are Hashem's people, the chosen ones, and he, at Har Sinai, he proposed to us at Har Sinai, he said, you are going to be my chosen ones. You're my treasure from amongst all the nations. You're mine. You're special to me. So why shouldn't I come and live with you? Of course, as a result of that, I should come and live with you. So make me a Mikdash, and I'm going to come and live with you. We're not going to leave this as an abstraction. I'm going to come and live with you. Second thing, says the Ramban, beside what he considers to be a more mystical answer, more mystical than answer, but explanation of the quality of the Mishkan is, that the presence of Hashem, the way it was on Har Sinai, but that ended with the conclusion of Mount Har Sinai to some degree, Hashem said, create a permanent Har Sinai type situation. And the Mishkan would be a permanent Har Sinai type of situation. What was on Har Sinai? The cloud and the fire. What was in the Mishkan? The cloud and the fire. Right? And so on and so forth. There are things which maintain Har Sinai through the Mishkan. And of course, Har Sinai, Hashem went, Moshe went up to hear the word of Hashem. The Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu went to hear the word of Hashem from the Kodesh Kodashim. We're from the Orin, where the Torah is kept, where the Luchos, that Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe formally through the handing over of those stones, are there in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash. That's where Hashem gives over the Torah. The continued revelation of Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu was through that spot and through those items. And the Sanhedrin is also the continued revelation of Torah. Sanhedrin goes to the Mikdash to get it, like Moshe Rabbeinu went to Har Sinai to get it. And in a sense, also we go to the Sanhedrin to get it. The Sanhedrin for us is going to be the voice of Hashem, not as crystal clear as the voice of Hashem on Har Sinai, not as accurate as Moshe Rabbeinu when he conveyed the word of Hashem, Shechina medaberes mitoch gerono, as if Hashem was speaking from the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. But ultimately, that would be what the Sanhedrin would be. The Sanhedrin would be the kimitziyim teitzei seiru dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That's why the Sanhedrin was there in the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. Well, they were somehow echoing, expressing the word of Hashem. Rav Yehuda Halevi writes in the Kuzari that the Sanhedrin had to be located in the Mikdash. Because while with your own voice you can sit and think and contemplate and argue and come up with things with your own mind, your thoughts can come from any place. But there's another level where the Sanhedrin functions, that they're not just speaking with their own voice. They're speaking with Siyata Deshmaya, with divine inspiration. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice behind theirs. Now again, we don't say that. Sanhedrin doesn't sit and say, let's have a seance and decide what the halacha is. If they do that, we throw them out. They're charlatans. they sit and they figure it out. They use their heads. But we believe, as Ramban writes several times in the Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there helping them. Helping them. Siyata Deshmaya, that's what Ramban says, an astounding thing. You know, the din is that if you have Edim, witnesses, and they testify that Reuven killed Shimon, and then two witnesses come and say, you're testifying that Reuven killed Shimon in Cleveland last Tuesday? You must be liars, because you were with us in Pittsburgh last Tuesday. You couldn't have seen that. You're called Edim Zendim, you're scheming witnesses, you're trying to get Reuven killed. So what's the rule? What happens to them? They get killed. Right? They get killed. When do they get killed? If we listen to them, and we said, okay, put them on death row, we're ready to kill them. Right? And then those two Edim came along and said, how could they say that? They're lying. Then we'll take those first two Edim, who successfully got a death sentence put on Reuven's head, but it wasn't carried out. We're gonna say, you guys wanted to kill him, and we killed him. Kasher Zanon, Lasez Lachiv, like they were skinny. But let's say it wasn't the picture perfect Hollywood finish. Let's say what happened was that those two Edom said, Reuven killed Shimon in Cleveland on Tuesday. And we listened to them, and we said, well, okay, it's established, Reuven killed Shimon on Tuesday, we take Reuven out and kill him. And then these two Edom come galloping up to the Bezdin. And they say, they said Reuven killed Shimon in Cleveland on Tuesday. They were with us in Toronto, in Pittsburgh on Tuesday. What do we do to them? What do we do to the first Edom? Nothing. Right? Nothing. So, what's the story? Doesn't make sense. If they said Reuven should die, and we decided Reuven should die, and Reuven didn't die, then we'll kill them. Because they want them to kill them. But if they said Reuven should die, and Reuven died, they got Reuven killed, and now we figure out that they're scheming witnesses, we won't kill them. Doesn't make any sense. That's Mar says, Edom Zayim B'chidushu. It's like so novel. What's going on? Says the Ramban, you know why? Because if the Beis Din killed them, then Hashem's hand was in it. If they got the Beis Din to decide to kill him, and then the Beis Din didn't end up killing him, then they were trying to kill an innocent man. But if the Beis Din killed him, Siyata Dishmaya, the belief that Hashem's voice spoke with the Beis Din, is enough to say, don't go killing them. You don't know that they were wrong. You're not sure that they were wrong. Siyata Dishmaya. Mind-boggling Ramban. But you understand, Sanhedrin is supposed to reflect the voice of Hashem. So they're there. They're the Orayin. They're in there. Okay. There by the Mizbeach. Moshe Rabbeinu is there. Everything, the voice of Hashem that comes out from the Mikdash. But we create a place. We create an image. Is it supposed to be indeed just ephemeral, just there, out there in the air, without something hard and fast? Or is it supposed to be something that's, I think, that we need to do here? We need to understand what it is. The first shot of the Ramban. That is taking something that's b'chol amokay masher askir ashmi, that's wherever my name is mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. To something which is constant, to living amongst you. To living amongst you. Har Sinai, as we said before, was by definition very temporary. As long as Hashem was there talking to us, it was sacred. As soon as Hashem was finished, the shofar blast sounded, heralded Hashem's exit, and it wasn't sacred anymore. It was a regular mountain. You go now today to Har Sinai, anything special about Har Sinai? I don't know, I think they have these strange shaped rocks on Har Sinai. That's it. Nothing. Curiosity. Believe me, it's more than a curiosity.
imagine. I mean, I never was at Har Sinai. But, you know, I get goosebumps. You know, stand in a place where the Rakos Baruch spoke to the Jewish people. It's a great place for goosebumps. Right? But, again, in special Kedusha doesn't have. I don't know, I went, some of you went with me to Shiloh. You know, where the Mishkan Shiloh stood. So it's a mountain. It's a hill. In the middle of the Shomron. It has no Kedusha, it has no sanctity anymore. Specific sanctity. But could you imagine? The Jewish people descended on this place, on this mountaintop, to bring Korbanos, and Korbanos was Hashem for 380 years. Like, how can you not get goosebumps? You're in that place. The history gives it, makes it hallowed ground to some degree. But it's still, what's Shiloh today? It's nothing today. It's nothing today. But when it was there, it wasn't just there in the morning when they were davening or bringing the carbon tumit, and in the afternoon when they were davening about the carbon tumit. It was there. It was Hashem residing amongst the Jewish people. Is general and it's transient and it depends on your actions of the moment. When you build a Mishkan, when you build a Mishkan, what you're doing is you're creating something which is less. I want to bring you a comparable. Rav Tzadik Kain says a beautiful thing. Umarim Brachas says that Kol Akaveya Mokim Mitzvilosai Elikei Avraham BeEzrei. A person who fixes a place for themselves to daven, the God of Avraham will support him. And when he passes away from this world, they will say, "Where is that pious one? Where is that humble one? Hey Chassid, hey Anof, Mitalmid of Shel Avraham, a student of Avraham." Why? Because we find that Avraham Avinu, you know, he davened for Sodom. The next morning he got up and he went back to the same place that he davened the day before. So you see, Amokim Asher Om Hashem, he stood before Hashem, he fixed the place for that. You know, Avraham Avinu was a historical personality, right? I mean, he was a big, very important person. This you would figure as being something like, what's the idea? This is a student of Avraham, and he fixed the place for that. Because we see Avraham fixed the place. It's not incidental. It's plain Ratzalak. Avraham Avinu was a Kviyus Mokim. Avraham Avinu was a fixed place. Why? Because there were always righteous people in the world. Weren't they? No. There was Adam. There was Noach. There was Shem. There was Eber. Shem and Eber were alive. The great-grandparents of Avraham Avinu, they were alive in Avraham Avinu's life. But you know, they had children in between. Not all of them were tzaddikim. Terach was also a grandchild of Shem and Eber. Hashem was around to some degree. He responded. He was there for people. He had connection with people to some degree. When they forged a relationship with him, when they reached out to him, so he responded. Avraham Avinu was kevei amokre. Avraham Avinu created a relationship with Hashem. Hashem created a relationship with Avraham Avinu called a bris. A bris that would stay. A bris that would last. When Hashem establishes a relationship with Avraham and Avraham establishes a relationship with Hashem, so that was a moment of bechira, of choice, that made it now you are mine and I am yours. That's Kviyus Mokim. That's establishing something, to be there. Says Rav Tzadok. That's why Avraham Avinu is sensitive to the idea of not just having fair weather or here, there, everywhere. Because everything that Avraham Avinu is about is locking it in. It's here now, it's here to stay. Now there's a relationship, there's a connection. It's not just I called you and you responded to me and you showered on me some blessings. Sort of connects it to the fact that Avram's mitzvah was to go to Eretz Yisrael, which again is a kviyus mokim. It's establishing a place, a connection, a channel. That's what's happening there.
And in our own way, in a certain sense, that's what happens here. Because Mamad Har Sinai is rich, of course. V'yisam li segula mikol ha'amim. Hashem says, you're going to be my treasure. But Hashem didn't create anything permanent. What did He do? He spoke to us. He came to us and He responded to us. But it wasn't going to end there. Now that Hashem has chosen us as His nation, now there has to be something else called Kviyus Makom, called establishing a place. And I'll prove it to you. Because Hashem is not going to just give us words and commandments which we can take or leave. Hashem is going to give us the tablets that He's going to carve, that He's going to write in stone. And they here, take it. This is yours. From me. That's not ephemeral. That's the only thing in the entire world that has Hashem's signature on it. Isn't that true? Did Hashem create anything so openly? Hashem created the world, you know, that's a whole hidden world of nature. The luchos. I mean, if we would get the luchos, wow, Hashem carved that out. That's different than the oceans. You understand how different that is? And that's why the luchos were the presence of Hashem in the Mishkan. But it's more than that. It was Hashem saying, Hoy eshev ki yivi siha. I'm here, I settled here. This is what I want. Create a place for me down there. Until then, it's an exchange of words. Chazal say a mashal, a metaphor for this. What happened was, there was a king, and he had a single child. He had an only child, a daughter. She was so precious to him. And finally it came the time for her to get married, and he marries her off to a fine young fellow. The problem was he lived in Poughkeepsie. And the king said, "Ah, I'm going to miss her so much. Do me a favor. Build me an in-law apartment. So I don't have to be so far away from her. I'll be able to at least be nearby." Says the Medrash, Hashem had a bas yechida, and it was called the Torah. And Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people. He says, "Please, I don't want to be far away from you. Build me a home. I could be near my Torah." So they built a Mishkan. But you understand that until Hashem gives it over, you know, words, instructions, blessings, osios, porchos, ba'aber, letters that float through the air. What Hashem is doing here is He's giving over a piece of Himself. More than bracha, He's establishing a place for Himself, because to create a fixed connection. And yes, it's true. You saw that at Har Sinai, I spoke to you from heavens. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu per se, not silver gods, not gold gods, there's nothing that you can do to create that. All you can do is build for yourself a Mizbeach and serve me. You serve me, you call me. But I'll tell you that in a sense, I'll have a Mishkan built. I'll tell you exactly what to do. So that I'll come and we'll establish something that just sticks. And yeah, it'll be in a certain sense with Elohei Chesed, Elohei Zov. There's going to be some kind of an image there, because I have to give you something so that there will be a fixed connection. Oh, if you make it for yourself, forget about it. You can't make your God. I'm coming to you and I'm establishing my presence with you. That's the Mishkan. It's to make it a kliyos. It's to make Hashem have a place here. So then you come back to here, because Hashem is here. Because Hashem is here. Would He always be here? We would build a Mishkan, and then we would travel someplace else, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was traveling with us. The thing was, Hashem would be with us. We'd put up the Mishkan again, and Hashem would come back and dwell amongst us. Because He was there. His luchos were there. He would be there. He would come with us. Shiloh would be called the menucha, the resting place.
not the final portion. Oh, Hashem would stay there for a long time, not 39 days or 39 years like in the Midbar. 380 years, Hashem would be there in Shiloh. But then he would be gone. And then he would be gone. And we'd go on to the next place. We have the Oren, go on to the next place. And then we would establish the Beis HaMikdash. What's amazing about the Beis HaMikdash is that was not the Menucha, that was the Nachla. That would be the final place. The final place that there would never be any other. Once we came to the Mikdash, there would be no other place. And in fact, the first Beis HaMikdash, which was built with the Luchas, perhaps, according to many, to some degree, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Luchas were gone, it was gone. It lost its Kedusha. But when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, and was built to some degree without the Luchas, without the visible presence of the Luchas, then we say that the Shechina never left. When the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shechina never left. The presence of Hashem is still there. We're not serving Him there. We serve Him around it, near it, you know, by the wall below. But the Shechina, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to some degree, is still there. How is it? So, let's go back to Avraham Avinu. And let's go to understand again that the creation of a place on this earth for HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes together with the creation of a relationship with the people called Yisrael. You read that Ramban and he says the reason why Hashem created a Mikdash, the reason why He sent down the Luchos and had this thing, is because, look, you're My people, you're My segula, so therefore it's appropriate that I should be amongst you. And the Pasuk says it clearly, Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'saycha. They'll make for Me a migdash and I will dwell in their midst. It doesn't say b'saycha in it. It says I will dwell amongst them. And as you'll learn these parshiyos, I mean, most of Parshas Truma is going to deal with the technicalities of building the Mishkan, but when you get to Kisisa and Hashem living amongst us, it's amongst the people. It's not really in the place. It's amongst the people. When it says the Seicham, not the Seicham, so everybody's used to the Sheva Brachas Torah, you know, which is a Chazal. Hard to find the Chazal. But the Chazal, the Seich Chalecha Ve'echad, you know, in the midst of each one. Everybody has a little mini Mikdash. But simple pshat in B'saychem is, yeah, not in the Mikdash, but it's to be for Me to dwell in the middle of the Jewish people. And the term is va'asu. We just talked about it tonight between Minchah and Maariv. Va'asu. Va'asu. Twice it says va'asu, and they shall make. It says va'asu li Mikdash, and it says va'asu arayin, they'll make an ark. After that, every time, what does it say? V'asisa. And you, in the singular, Moshe shall make the Tipisa. It's always to measure the singular. But when we're describing the Mikdash per se, the Oron, it's not Moshe, it's the Jewish people. The Jewish people, Hashem's there because He's there within the Jewish people. The Maharal, in Sefer Netzach Yisrael, writes as follows. Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, had the presence of Hashem. It had the Luchas. It had the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which was the way to hear the word of Hashem upon the Jewish people. There was the cloud, the fire of Hashem's presence. When it was destroyed, all that was gone. The presence of Hashem. That was the basis for the first Beis HaMikdash. That was the character, the spine of the first Beis HaMikdash. And when it was gone, it was gone. When the Jewish people sinned and failed in the service of Hashem, it disappeared. Second Beis HaMikdash had no Luchos.
It had no Urim Bitumim. It had no fire. It had none of these things.
So what was the power of the second Beis HaMikdash?
So Shach Tzadok, the power of the second Beis HaMikdash was
because it was the place that all the Jewish people joined together for Asu, and they built it and they made it. The power of the second Beis HaMikdash was the power of Klal Yisrael. And the holiness, the presence of Hashem that came there, was not because of something that he gave down here, not because of Kerubim, not because of cherubic images, but because of the Jewish people. And that's also a permanence. And that's why, number one, what we lost in the second Beis HaMikdash was from Sinas Chilin, infight amongst the Jewish people. But also, to some degree, Hashem stays there, because we're still here. We're still here, he's still here. There's a base on the Kafara. That's what this is about. From moving it from fleeting to permanence. A bias is permanent. You know, even the oil mayad is, you know, it's oil, it's transient. But to some degree, Hashem is saying, look, okay, now I'm going to be with you. The Mikdash, what's called base, I love it, the house of eternity, the eternal house. That's where we're going, that's where we're trying to go. What was the preparation for the building of the second base of Mikdash? What was the grieving, the finishing, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash? That is all the story of Purim. The story of Purim takes place between the first and the second Beis HaMikdash during the years of Golus Paras, which succeeded Golus Babel. This was the continuation of Babylonian exile. Ahasuerus starts the Megillah by making a party. What was that party celebrating? Chazal teach us that party was celebrating what he saw as the conclusion of the 70 years of exile of the Jewish people, and they're still in exile. In other words, they were all living with bated breath. 5 years left, 4 years left, 3 years left. Ding, ding, ding. Right? Y2K, right? Anybody remember Y2K? Right? You know? Came and went and nothing. 70 years and they're still in Golos. They're really finished. That was just a pipe dream. A false prophecy. Chas v'chalila. We got it made! Ahasuerus says. And he pulls out Kelim v'Kelim Shana. He pulls out the utensils that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. And he serves wine and punch, right, for his party in the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how it begins. It's over, it ain't coming back. And when Esther goes to Ahasuerus, she says, oh, I'll let you have anything after halfway of the kingdom. What's that say, Chazal? Till the Beis HaMikdash. That's the only thing I won't give you. If you're going to ask me about building the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not letting you build the Beis HaMikdash. Don't do it again. It ain't coming back. And of course, in the end, we know that Ahasuerus fathered Daryavesh through Esther, and Daryavesh built the second Beis HaMikdash. The story of Purim is the twinkle of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. It's all about a false celebration of the premature, never to occur, end of the Jews, end of the Beis HaMikdash. But it comes back. It comes back. How does it come back? Has it come back? It comes back through a speech that Mordechai gives to Esther and a response of Esther that the whole Jewish people take on. The speech of Mordechai to Esther is, Esther, you think you're going to separate your fate from that of the Jewish people? You think you'll escape to the castle and everybody else is going to be destroyed? I got news for you. The Jewish people will never be destroyed.
Revach v'hatzola yamid la'yehudim yimokhem acher.
It's permanent.
There's a relationship. I may be out of the Mikdash right now, but I'm not out of the Jewish people. The Jewish people will be here forever. They will be here to be with me forever. And you better connect yourself to the Jewish people. If you want to disconnect from the Jewish people, you'll be lost. They'll be spared. And Esther hears the speech. And she goes and she tells her brothers and sisters, she says, go. She tells Mordechai, go. Get all the Jews together. You understand? Don't you understand what Hashem just said? Don't you understand what you just said? He said that there's an eternal connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. So we're not going to be a Jewish people. We're not going to daven for each other. We're not going to come together. Crazy. That's the makom of the Shechina. The luchos we don't have. That part of the Mikdash we don't have. But the people we have. We have ba'asu. We have something that the people can do together. We don't have the Mikdash. We don't have the Mishkan. We don't have the Arayin to put in the Eidos, to put in those the thing. But we still have the Va'asu. And that's to create the permanence. And, you know what? Says the Gemara in Megillah. There were 48 Nevi'im. And that stood up for the Jewish people. And none of them added anything to the Torah. Until Esther came along. And then they added Mikra Megillah. The Sanhedrin got together, they decided they added Mikra Megillah. Wow, amazing. So the Sanhedrin convened in the Beis HaMikdash. And Golos. Purim is a Golos story. Why? Because that's where the Jewish people were. And the Sanhedrin was next to the Jewish people. That's different. It's different than the Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash. But it's the power. That's the power. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, put the Sanhedrin next to the Mizbeach. Where you're going to go to serve Hashem. You know that Hashem's going to come and respond, so you'll hear His voice more clearly. But ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create His permanent connections. And the permanent connection will be through a place. And when it's going to be less visible, it's not going to be through a place, it's going to be through you. I heard once from a Meshach Shapira, who said over in somebody else's name, the Gemara in Yuma that I've told you many times, the Gemara in Yuma says that when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jewish people were in Golos, so Yirmiyahu didn't want to call Hashem Gibor strong anymore, Daniel didn't want to call Hashem awesome anymore because, you know, look, whatever, the other way around, Yirmiyahu didn't want to call him awesome anymore because people were playing around the Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And Daniel didn't want to call him Gibor because he's strong when they're subjugated under other nations. Rashi Knesset came and said, what are you talking about? Hashem is Gibor, he's Naira. How's that? Because if not for his Gevura, Hein Gevura Yisav, Hein Naira Yisav. Because otherwise, how would the Jewish people still be around? How would the Jewish people still be around? That's a demonstration of Hashem's presence. Hashem's still being here. It's through Kal Yisrael. The Meshach Shapira said over the name of someone, a friend of his, a chaver of his, who wasn't alive anymore. This is, I had this from him about 20 years ago, 23 years ago. He said, Neiro Elohim Midlashecha. Kel Yisrael, the nice thing, I just said to my Islam. The Pesach says, Hashem is awesome from his Midlash. The God of Israel gives strength and capacity, power to the people, to the nation. In other words, sometimes Hashem is seen from the Mikdash, but when He's not, He's seen from the Mikdash. The Mikdash is the Mikdash of the people.
The bayis sheni was because we were called Yisrael. The bayis rishon, oh, more tangible stuff. But the bayis rishon shabrishon, the mishkan, was for us. Was because of the people. The only reason why Hashem made it was because He wanted to show His connection to the people, and I put a place for me, made me down there with the people. It wasn't a home for the luchas. It was to live amongst us, to have a connection to people. Don't lose sight of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The introduction to Yisrael is true. I'm there everywhere where people call out to me, I'll be there. But if we're going to graduate in this Am Segula, we're going to have to create something to show permanence. That's the permanence. The biggest permanence is Netzach Yisrael Yeshem. The eternity of the Jewish people will never fail. And that was what Mordechai said to Esther. Reva, Vatzola, Yamalei, who's going to come after? The Jewish people won't fail. They'll be saved. We want to be smart. We'll attach ourselves fiercely to the Jewish people. We'll daven for each other. We'll give matanos levyayim to those amongst our people who need them. We'll reach out with friendship of mishleach manas. We'll make a people because that's where the connection is. Now, especially, when the luchos are put away, but also, that's the bridge between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, is the story of Purim. Now the kelim, the dishes of the Beis HaMikdash might be used by Achashverosh and his gluttonous, drunken friends. It's not in there anymore. But the second Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt around the Mishta of Esther, coming on the heels of Knesset Kol Yehudim gathering together the Jewish people. The permanence. Avraham Avinu is the permanence. Who made a place to die? But Avraham Avinu was the core permanence. Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishakeh.